What's up, Cheap Seaters? It's Nick.
And Adam.
And welcome to episode 17.
Woo-woo!
Of Cheering from the Cheap Seats. 17. We're almost legal.
Oh, God. You went there.
Yes. Yes, I did. You didn't ask me legal to do what?
He went there, guys.
You didn't ask me. I mean, we can be legal to vote.
So next episode, we can be barely legal.
No, we'll be 18. We'll be legal.
Barely legal. Barely but we are legal. Barely.
Still legal.
I know.
Still legal to vote.
Yeah. And buy cigarettes.
No, I think that's 21 now.
Oh.
Well, in our state, North Carolina, I'm pretty sure it's moved up to 21. Mm.
Anyways. Speaking of barely legal, I'm pretty sure that was the name of a ECW. Wrestling pay-per-view
ECW, at one point, yep.
Which brings us to what we're talking about.
Ooh,
today.
Nice segue. I like that segue.
Look at me. I'm almost a professional.
I wouldn't go that far. None of us are professionals on this show right now. We're as amateur comes. Speaking of barely... Never mind. Anyways, so we mentioned wrestling. as most of you wrestling fans know, WWE's biggest event of the year,
Royal Rumble, already happened.
I said biggest.
Their
I didn't
biggest.
Say best.
Okay, I gotcha. See the difference there.
Yeah. Words.
The spectacle.
Yeah. Well, it used to be. I don't feel like it's nearly as big as... Or as exciting as it used to be.
Yeah. Match-wise, no, but they still try to make a spectacle out of it. With the fireworks and the big NFL stadiums and whatnot. So
This is my eye roll. Because I'm like... But yeah, so... For those that don't know... WWE's WrestleMania is coming up here in a few weeks. This year is another two-night event.
Yeah, I think that's the standard now, unfortunately.
Boo. Sucks. Who wants two nights of WrestleMania? I mean, I guess it's either have two nights of WrestleMania or have...
Six hours of...
I was going to say 16 hours.
Oh, well, yeah.
gotta have, like, 42 dark matches to start the night.
You gotta have room to get... Everybody on the roster on the card, plus all their legends on the card, plus some celebrities on the card. Logan Paul's in a match this year. Pat McAfee, which I don't mind Pat McAfee. I like him. But still, he's not a wrestler.
But say, do you think he really belongs in a WrestleMania match, though?
Did Snooki?
That's true.
He belonged more so than she did.
That's true. I guess Lawrence Taylor was in a WrestleMania match, too.
Okay.
So,
we never did get our Shaq versus Big Show match that they teased.
We did get Big Show versus Money Mayweather, though. That was more like a boxing kind of... I don't even know what to call that one.
It was a wrestling match. I'm pretty sure he got picked up. I mean, he got choke slammed or something, but...
Remember.
Of course, Mayweather knocked him out.
Yeah. I just don't remember. I
quote unquote for I really I forget that you guys can't see me.
Yeah. Sometimes we forget this is this is an audio show.
Yeah.
Air quote knocked him out unquote. But anyway, so we thought since WrestleMania, the point I was trying to make, two nights this year, April 2nd and 3rd. Mm-hmm. So it's very early in April this year. And we thought, I know we're not nearly as big as WWE fans as we used to be, but growing up, we were both pretty big wrestling fans. So we know the importance of WrestleMania. We've lived through some of the big moments that have happened. So we thought that it'd be fun to kind of talk about some of our favorite moments and matches that have happened in that. Past WrestleManias and that's pretty much it.
And we were talking about this. We're not. It's another list we're doing, but we're going to switch it up. We're not doing so much as a top five because we don't like... Sometimes it's hard to just rank things. Mm-hmm. And what determines if the one thing is better than another thing, yeah. you know? So, I think of it as a... I could say Mount Rushmore. Yeah, I know. It's a five-headed Mount Rushmore. None's greater than the other.
Yeah, it's just these moments or matches that have stood out to us in our minds.
Right.
We kind of did this with our Royal Rumble episode. Yeah. So, I mean, it worked well there. Like, I had fun with that episode. I didn't feel quite as stressed trying to put everything in list form.
Right.
And two, it's been kind of crazy at work. Yeah. So our brains are a little fried. This this kind of takes away the stress of having to come up with a list.
Right.
So, I mean, I still think we're having fun with this. I think you guys are still going to appreciate talking about some of the stuff.
Yeah. So we've each got five, not specifically matches. They can be matches, but moments. And actually, I think most of mine are not even matches. They're either moments that happened or parts of matches that, you know. But
that's okay. I got the matches covered.
Now I do have some matches for my honorable mentions that I'm gonna shout out. Now, if any of these I say you have, I mean, just let me know. I'll wait and we'll talk about it then when you get to it.
Yeah.
So I can just run through them real quick.
Actually, hold on. Before we get started, do we want to do Facebook shout out now?
Oh yeah, good for it.
Go ahead and do it now.
Yeah.
All right. So for those that are not part of our Facebook group, we kind of, when we do these kind of episodes, we post a question or whatnot to our Facebook group and try to get you guys to give us kind of what your favorite moments or whatever, and we ask what your favorite WrestleMania moments or matches were, and our boy Chris, who I feel like is very active in our Facebook group. We appreciate Chris, so if you're listening, thanks, buddy. He mentioned two matches that I'm sure if anybody has been a wrestling fan for a long time know all about. The first one is WrestleMania 3, and that is the Macho Man. I know, terrible Macho Man. So the Macho Man against Ricky the Dragon Steamboat.
One of my honorable mentions.
Is it? Okay, nice. Yeah. Okay.
I have actually gone back and watched this because I've heard all about it. It's a fantastic match.
I think we'll talk about this. I want to say I have watched the full match. It's just one of those that I'm kind of iffy on whether I've seen the full match.
Yeah, I think it kicked off WrestleMania that year as a curtain jerker. So they always like to have a great match to begin the show.
Wasn't it for the Intercontinental title too?
I believe that's correct.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, this match is considered just a fantastic match.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Macho Man and Ricky Steamboat are considered just some of the best ring workers.
Yeah.
Just entertaining as all get out. If I remember right, the storyline going in was that Macho Man had crushed Ricky Steamboat's windpipe with a ring bell or something like that. Like, he put the ring bell on his windpipe and did an elbow drop off the top. And so that was kind of a fun little storyline that I remember from this. But yeah, I'll it's your honorable mention. I'll let you talk about it a little bit.
You've got wrestling that are wrestlers that are just superstars, like, you know, Hogan from that era. But Hogan was great, but I don't consider him a great technical wrestler. No, I don't think anybody should.
Not at all.
Then there's guys like these that can... Macho Man, of course, had a personality, great talker.
Yes.
But, I mean, Steamboat, I mean, both of these were great technical wrestlers, could put on, like, a dramatic story. They told a story in the ring. Not just get out there and flex and, you know, just hulk up and...
Five moves of doom?
You know, yeah, exactly. So, that's why I put it on there. But,
I feel like I gotta go back and watch this match just so I can get a refresher on it, because it's considered a classic.
Yeah.
And especially early in, like, when WrestleMania, before it was that I mean, WrestleMania has always been a pretty big spectacle, but I don't feel like the early ones were nearly as big as ones now. Like, WrestleMania wasn't considered just the go-to show. So, I mean, to have a match like this on on a show like that is something special.
Right.
I mean, of course, WrestleMania 3 was also Hogan Andre.
Yeah, that was another honorable mention I had. Andre the Giant, Hulk Hogan at, for the main event. Just because there's that classic image of them just starting the match, just slowly walking towards each other, staring each other down.
Yeah.
And they're in the Silver Dome, and I think that was, I don't know, they may to this day still... Never mind, I'll take that back. I'm pretty sure they've had a bigger crowd at in one of the recent ones in Dallas. But at the time, I think they had like 100,000 people there. Or no, maybe it was close to maybe 80, 90 in that range somewhere. But it was a lot of people. And it was a spectacle.
And everybody went crazy when Hogan slammed
Andre. Yeah, he lifted him and slammed him, which was a feat. So that's
WrestleMania 3 was 93,173.
I knew it was up there. I got that one. Oh, did we have any more other shout-outs?
Yes, he mentioned WrestleMania 13. And that was a Bret-Austin submission match.
Can't talk about that one yet.
Okay. fair enough. Okay. That's the two that he says are two of his personal favorites. Right. Yeah. So.
I had Ultimate Warrior versus Hulk Hogan, which is stands out as, you know, they were the top guys at the same time. Because I think Warrior was almost seen to almost kind of be taking the place of Hogan.
Yes, yeah.
And just two hulking, colorful guys kind of going at it.
I mean, Warrior and Hogan were not the two most technical guys that you were ever going to get. But my God, if they were not over with the crowd.
Oh, yeah.
It's just... And just having those two just face off against each other. Because I don't think that one was that one for the world title? I think that one's for the Intercontinental title, too.
I don't remember which belt it was for.
Yeah, I don't remember. But to have Warrior actually go out and beat Hogan, like, that was a pretty big deal.
Yeah.
Like, it was a pretty big deal back in those days when anybody beat Hogan.
Oh, absolutely.
So.
Yeah, Hogan was the John Cena before John Cena.
Yes, very much so.
And finally, my last one. This might be on yours. It's one I could have included on my list, but I don't know. And I don't know if the last time I've watched it all the way through, I just know how great it's held in high regard. It is Rock versus Austin at 17. It was the second of their matches.
Yep.
I think widely considered to be their. The best one they of the three.
Well, up until the ending.
Yeah, like up until the ending, which is infamously where Rock turned... Austin turned heel with help Vince. Of Vince, and that began his heel turn.
Sure did.
But
yeah, that's another, like... I mean, from what I remember, all three of their matches are great, but I agree. This is definitely considered one of their best, or the best out of the three.
Yeah.
Because I just remember this match just having so many near falls and, like, so many, who the heck is going to win this match?
Yeah, and they just had a whole great rivalry, you know, going on throughout the Attitude Era. And some places I read, this almost unofficially ended, was the end of the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
You know, because where they, after this, you kind of started getting more, I guess, maybe the Ruthless Aggression after that. Maybe not quite, but... you started getting your guys like, I think, Kurt Angle and your, maybe...
Chris Jericho. I mean, Chris Jericho was Attitude Era, but I feel like Chris Jericho was a little more active during the Ruthless Aggression Era than...
Yeah.
So, that's a good one.
Yeah.
I actually came up with another for my list, so I have two honorable mentions I'd like to talk about now. And mine are actually moments... my first is something that's always stood out in my mind. The match is considered a great one, but I remember something specific from the match, and that is WrestleMania 19. Brock Lesnar, Kurt Angle. Brock goes for the shooting star press.
And
absolutely misses.
So, he lands on his head.
Sure does.
Yeah.
Just completely face plants the mat.
Oh.
But other than that, I mean, That to me that's a memorable memorable moment. But also, I mean, the match, I mean, before Brock was just a lazy character, he actually was a very athletic character. Like he was a very athletic big man, and Kurt Angle was always going to be your technical wrestler that can just move all over the place. So I remember those two being matched up, and I do remember this match being really good, other than Brock being, or just completely botching a shooting star press.
Yeah. Dang, I just thought of another thing. Okay, I just thought of something that definitely deserves to be in my five more than something else. I just don't know what I'm going to kick off.
Change it on the fly.
I know. what am I going to knock down? Okay, I'll knock this one down. I'll mention it here. It doesn't really deserve to be. Shane, okay, so what I'm knocking off my top five is Shane Jumps from the Cell. Is because it wasn't a great match, because it was Shane, like a 40-some, almost maybe 50-year-old Shane McMahon, first match back, gets put in a match against The Undertaker in Hell in a Cell. just the moment is he climbs to the top of the cell.
Hey y'all, sorry about that. Recording through our phone sometimes, we kind of get a thrown off.
Yeah.
So
we'll just roll with it. Quick, little technical difficulties. Anyways, I believe I was talking about Shane O'Mac jumping from the top of the cell.
Which WrestleMania was this one?
It was 32.
Okay.
I think. It was in Dallas. I think it was the first one in Jerry World.
Okay.
So this, if I'm not mistaken, this was the first time since Mankind got thrown off the cell, anyone has fallen / jumped. And actually, this, my understanding was this cell was higher than that one, and Vince made it higher to deter people from jumping or falling off of it.
Well, and we all know, I mean, Shane has never been considered a technical wrestler. Or even a quote-unquote professional wrestler. No. But this man is known to take his bumps.
Oh, yeah. His whole shtick is loves to fall off of high things.
Yes.
So, yeah, he climbs up there, stands for a minute, and jumps. Not so much jumps off, but steps off and tries to elbow drop Taker that's on the announce table, but Taker rolls out of the way at the last second. So,
yeah.
And then, of course, Taker wins the match. But
that's okay. I feel like, I mean, that's one of the better moments. Mm-hmm. From one of the more recent WrestleManias.
Yeah, I will have to say, most of mine are gonna come from post, let's see, like, most of my WWE watching has been after college, which is surprising to a lot of people, because I watched WCW as a kid.
Yeah.
And so I don't really know a whole lot other than what I've gone back on the network to watch. So most of my like moments that stick out that I watch live and stuff is going to be from like 29 and on. So that's where I'm coming from.
Yeah. Mine are a little bit older. Yeah. Well, I say a little bit older. Like, I think my earliest one is, let's see, my earliest one is 20. And then my latest is 30. And that's only because, like 17 through maybe 25, 26. Mm-hmm. Like, that's my peak. Like, that's when my interest was still there for wrestling, and then I kind of got bored with it again and just hadn't really watched it. I only have 30 on here because of one thing. But my I have one more honor mention I want to talk about, and I'm gonna go ahead and get it out the way for you people that can fuss at me. because I'm going to mention a man that maybe nobody wants me to mention, but my other honorable mention that has always stuck with me, and that is the end of WrestleMania 20 with Eddie Guerrero and Chris Benoit hugging it out after Chris Benoit won the world title.
Eddie versus who?
Well, that wasn't Eddie. They didn't fight. It's just the man that should not be named.
Oh.
Should not be named faced Shawn Michaels and Triple H in a triple threat match. Won, and then Eddie came out to congratulate him.
Okay.
And they hugged it out while confetti fell from the ceiling and everything.
Yeah.
But in all honesty, I know nobody likes to mention the name Chris Benoit. I will never condone what he did in real life, but I can take notice of his wrestling career.
Oh yeah.
And I just love this moment because you have two guys that were always considered the underdog, always considered small on the smaller side, that you were never really going to consider maybe as heavyweight contenders. Mm-hmm. And then Eddie goes and beats Brock at No Way Out. And then Benoit goes and wins the heavyweight title. And all of a sudden, hey, these two guys that have come through ECW together, they came through WCW together, that premiered in WWE together, mm-hmm. both of them are now world champions. And it's just a great moment to go back and watch them just meet in the ring at the end of WrestleMania 20 and just have that moment of just hugging it out and being happy for each other.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I need to go back and watch that one. So.
Also helps with the fact that triple threat match is just fantastic. Yeah. It's a great match.
Yeah.
So if you'd like to get into
my actual list. Yeah, I could keep adding honorable mentions for days, but I got to end somewhere. So
get into your main five-headed Mount Rushmore.
My main five-headed Mount Rushmore. So I'm going to go with the one that we had a shout out on Facebook. I'll go ahead and get that one out of the way. It is Austin versus Bret Hart at WrestleMania 13.
Yes.
I think it was.
Yes.
It was a submission match. It was almost a near perfect just wrestling match. And this, I think, kicked off the Attitude Era.
Kicked off the Attitude Era, and it kicked off, it just skyrocketed Stone Cold's popularity.
Right. So, because I think this was in, was this 97?
I think so, yes.
97.
That sounds right.
So he already had his Stone Cold Austin 316 moment at King of the Ring in 96 before this, but this is kind of what rocketed him to his superstardom.
Yeah, I say that, I think he was still a heel when he did his Austin 316 promo. This turned him into a baby face.
It was almost a double turn because Bret was going in as the baby face because it was a submission match.
Yes.
And it's just that iconic scene at the very end of Austin in this is in particular is my moment. The Austin's Crimson Mask.
Yes.
So Austin is in the sharpshooter and he will not tap out. He bleeding from his forehead,
screaming in agony.
he looks at his hand, blood, and then he just shakes his head, and then he ends up just passing out, and that's how the match ends. He doesn't quit.
Yep.
He just, he doesn't submit, and that's how the match ends. He loses that way, but in doing so, it turned him in babyface.
That's because Bret wouldn't drop the hold.
Yeah.
Like, from what I remember, because this is another one of those matches that I know I've seen plenty of highlights of. I just don't know if I've seen the whole match.
Yeah.
But I know the storyline.
Right.
So you're right. Austin ends up passing out, never submits. I mean, he still loses because it's a submission match. But Bret doesn't break the hold. So when he doesn't break the hold, that's when the fans start turning on him a little bit. Turns him into a bad guy. And Austin is, coming off of this tough as nails character and kind of... That's the old switcheroo. Mm-hmm. So, Bret becomes the bad guy. Stone Cold becomes the good guy.
Yeah.
But yeah, fantastic match.
Yeah,
That's a great one. That's a great pick. Anything else to say about that one?
Whatever yours.
Okay. First one I'm going to talk about is WrestleMania 22, and that is Mick Foley versus Edge in a hardcore match.
Yeah.
And I it might surprise the little people, or little people.
Little people.
It might surprise the little people. Shout out to all the midges listening. Anyways, this might surprise a lot of people, but I just really enjoy this match. Like, it's, I mean, Mick Foley is always going to be Mick Foley. He's always going to do these crazy things. But to see Edge actually go out in a, like we're not talking one of these watered down hardcore matches. Like, Edge literally went out there and got involved with the thumbtacks, the barbed wire wrap bat, the flaming table. That's how the match ended. Is,
yeah, that's the iconic scene from this one. Yeah. The flaming table.
Yeah, so match ends. Well, it doesn't end, but Edge ends up putting Mick Foley away because Mick's standing on the apron. Lita had gotten a table out, sets it on fire. Edge comes and spears Mick Foley, and they both go tumbling through the flaming table, and that ends to leads to the end of the match. And so I get so much appreciation. I mean, already as I've gotten older, I've gotten so much appreciation out of Mick Foley. I mean, as an adult, he's probably become one of my top five favorite wrestlers because was just so willing to go out there and put on a show for the fans.
Yeah, like it's a wonder that man is not
dead
or just seriously permanent brain or any kind of damage.
Yeah,
I don't know.
So, and then seeing Edge of all people going out and putting his body on the line to have an entertaining match. And then, of course, it led to what I consider a pretty fun little run between Edge and Mick Foley is Mick Foley ends up showing respect to Edge for going out there and having a hardcore match, that he brings the hardcore championship out of retirement and they're co-champions for a while. So I feel like that was kind of...
Yeah, I didn't realize you didn't know that storyline.
Yeah. So to me that's just a fun time between those two. So that's...
That's why I included
that one.
That's a good one. Did you want to do your next one, or jump back to me? Okay.
You go ahead.
So this one is not a match at all. It is the beginning of the kickoff to WrestleMania 30. We knew going into it that Hulk Hogan was going to be the quote unquote host.
Yeah.
Of it, so he came out there to talk, and then. He's doing his whole thing, and I think this is where he misquotes the
Superdome.
They're in the Superdome, but he says it's so great to be here, the Silverdome.
Silverdome, brother.
And and then I don't know whose music hits first.
I think it's The Rock's.
The Rock hits, you know, his music hits, and we didn't know he was going to be there, and the crowd loses it, you know, so we have two icons in the ring. Which they had their match at earlier WrestleMania against each other. I forget which one that was.
We'll begin to that one soon.
Yeah, okay. Good. So then they talked back and forth. And then if The Rock wasn't good enough, the only other person that could top it probably was the glass shatters and Stone Cold walks out.
Stone Cold!
The crowd loses it even more. And so you've got three legends standing in the ring. And Austin comes out and he says, "It's all so great to be here in the Silver Dome." Jack poking fun at Hogan. But yeah, they just go back and forth. And then it ends with all three of them just chugging beers together.
Sure does.
You know, so it's just a great opening to one of my favorite WrestleManias, as you'll see.
If I know what you're talking about, we'll be getting to this one here a little bit later.
Yeah.
depends on who gets to it first.
Yeah. So, it's just a great moment.
Yeah, no, I agree. Just to see the generations brought together by just having those three in the ring, like it's a fantastic moment. It's great. So my next one will be, it's consisted of two WrestleManias. Mm-hmm. And that is WrestleMania 25 and WrestleMania 26. And that is the matches between Undertaker and Shawn Michaels.
Yeah, I knew Shawn Michaels and Undertaker had to get talked about somewhere on here. Because what's the one that's considered, like, probably the greatest WrestleMania match ever?
Now,
I think it might be the second one.
Yeah, which probably because the one at 26 is the streak versus career. So it's Undertaker streak mm-hmm. versus Shawn Michaels yeah. career. Personally, though, I prefer the one at 25. Mm-hmm. I mean, both of them are just fantastic. I feel like Undertaker and Shawn Michaels brought out the best in each other. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, of course, Undertaker's had some great matches at WrestleMania during his streak. But just these two were great. Both of them had very iconic finishers mm-hmm. or finishes to the match. I like the ending to 25 because that was when Shawn Michaels went up on the top rope and tried to do a moonsault. Mm. And Taker ends up just catching him
yeah.
and doing a tombstone to win the match. But then he also had 26 to where Shawn just won't back down mm. even when he knows he's probably going to lose. So he Taker ends up picking him up and Shawn looks him right in the eye and does the Taker throat slash.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just...
Wait, what was the one... Cause wasn't Shawn, like, the first person to kick out of a tombstone?
Yes. Yeah, because that happened, like... I'm pretty sure that happened at their second one at 26.
Okay.
Because there was a couple near falls at the end of that match. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
I remember that everybody's shock when he... first person to kick out of a tombstone. And Undertaker's face was just... couldn't believe it, too. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah, but I just had to talk about talk at least a little bit about these two matches because
it's hard not to keep put that one on and then this one those two matches led to I think the two Triple H matches he had
yeah.
you know which not as good but still the third one the second of those was iconic from the end of an era. Match mm-hmm. where because I think Shawn was the guest referee.
Was that Heck in a Sec?
I believe so.
Yeah, Hell in a Cell.
Yeah, Heck in a Sec. I gotcha.
But yeah, because Shawn tried to cost mm-hmm. Taker that match too.
Yeah,
and he ended up but, winning.
Yeah, that ended the three of them walking down mm-hmm. the ramp together.
Yep.
You know, so. Yeah. But the one that Shawn Michaels' career. He actually stays retired. Like, he hasn't... has he never wrestled?
He has not. He's well, okay. No. He came back for... It was him and Triple H against Kane and Taker at the whichever Saudi Arabian...
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Which is widely considered one of the worst matches yeah. in recent years.
Because it was so important because... Yeah, people retire. Their matches... It's like, oh, if you lose, you've got to retire. And then they come back
yeah.
you know, a year later or whatever. But he actually stayed retired until yes. recently.
Mm-hmm.
So, but...
Unlike somebody else who I'll talk about
okay.
here in a minute. I'm not sure if you have the same... If you were going to talk about him, too.
No, I think I know what you're talking about, but no. So, my next one I'm going to do, the one that replaced Shane jumping off the cell.
Okay.
I think it's WrestleMania 31 in San Francisco.
Okay.
Or the 49ers stadium.
Yep. Sorry for Niners fans. I don't know what the name of your stadium is right now.
I don't know. Not here. So the main event was, I think it was Brock versus Cena.
Okay.
I don't think it was Universal title yet. It was WWE title. And I don't know. I forget who was going in as champion. I think Cena was going in as champion. No. I don't know. Anyway, sorry. You would think I would remember more details, but one of them was champion, obviously.
Yeah.
I think it may have, now that I think about it, it's probably Brock was champion and Cena was trying to finally overcome the Beast.
Uh-huh.
The iconic moment is, because it's a standard one versus one match, but Seth Rollins, who had the Money in the Bank briefcase, who that he won, I think, I guess it would have had to have been the previous July.
What, no, this it wasn't Cena Brock. It was Brock Roman.
It was Brock Roman. Okay.
I
knew Brock was in it.
Yeah, Brock was the champion going in, mm-hmm. and then Roman was the babyface trying to beat him.
I was thinking about the triple threat match between all three of those at Royal Rumble. Okay, yeah, my bad. Yes. It was,
but you're doing Seth Rollins cashing.
So that was. So he runs down. So they're in the middle of the match. Usually cash-ins, we get the match is over and mm-hmm. whoever's beaten down, the winner's still in the ring. The person cashing in comes out and just takes advantage of them. But no, during the match, he runs out, cashes it in, turns it into a triple threat match.
Sure does.
And just, it doesn't take him long. He curb stomps Roman and rolls him out of the ring and then curb stomps Brock for the pin, and that's all she wrote. And it was just, we'd never seen anything like that. And Seth Rollins was like, that was, I think he was at the top of his, well, he wasn't a baby face. He was a heel at that time. But it was just an iconic moment just for how different it was. And I don't think even, a lot of people didn't really want Roman to win. And we were tired of Brock.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, if I'm thinking right, this is the first and only time that a cash-in has happened at mm-hmm. WrestleMania. So, I mean, and if... I don't know when the... this is probably when Money in the Bank became a pay-per-view and mm-hmm. it stopped being held at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
But, I don't know. I just... It was definitely a great time, because it was so unexpected that Seth used this moment mm-hmm. to cash in his Money in the Bank.
Right.
So it was great. I feel stupid, but they're looking at the Wikipedia page for this, reminding me that there is one other moment that I want you to talk about that I completely forgot about and didn't make my list, or I won't mention. For one, WrestleMania 31 was Sting's one and only WrestleMania match.
Yeah, I considered putting it on here.
And then, two, it also had... I mean, he faced Triple H, so you almost had some kind of recreation of the Monday Night Wars, because DX ended up coming out to ringside for Triple H. And then when they tried to get involved, that's when the NWO came out to help Sting. And I know a lot of people complain about this, because it's kind of... A lot of people are like, well, technically in WCW, Sting feuded with the NWO.
Yeah, that's what I was going to get at. One of the reasons I didn't put it on there, because, yeah, I love seeing Sting finally in a WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
Too late. It should have happened earlier.
He also should have won here.
And he should have had a different opponent, which I'll talk about not today, but at some point.
Sure.
And it didn't really make sense. Yeah, it was great seeing the NWO versus DX, but it didn't make sense why the NWO would be helping Sting when he was constantly fighting them. I get what they were trying to do.
Yeah.
I don't know. And the match was not great, because it was like a 58-year-old man.
Well, it wasn't even that bothered me. Mm-hmm. It was the fact that Triple H ended up cheating the win. Mm-hmm. Like, Sting went to go do something, and he gets hit in the head with a sledgehammer, and then ends up shaking his hand at the end of the match. And it's like...
Yeah, and I remember being ticked that they didn't... Of course, Triple H had to win. He couldn't put Sting over. His only time... wrestling at WrestleMania, mm-hmm. and he couldn't let Sting win.
Yeah. I just wanted to talk about it for a minute, because looking at the Wikipedia page for this WrestleMania reminded me mm-hmm. about that. Like you said, maybe not, didn't make the most sense, but I mean, mm-hmm. it was Sting. finally.
Yeah.
At WrestleMania. It was kind of fun seeing all of DX and seeing the NWO kind of have that recreation of the Monday Night Wars. I mean, it was kind of a fun time.
Oh, yeah. No, so, definitely a fun time, you know. It just kind of didn't make a whole lot of sense sometimes. But yeah, no, it was fun seeing all those guys come back.
But I guess I can actually get to my actual next pick. Like that was, if anything, that would have been an honorable mention that I wanted to talk about. I just wanted to discuss.
Well, while we're on topic, I'm not going to talk about this long, but I think that was the same WrestleMania that The Rock brought Ronda Rousey out of the crowd.
Yep.
This wasn't going to be one of your moments, was it?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
She out of the crowd to feud, I guess, with Shane and Stephanie. It led to, I think Ronda, she did it like a hip toss on Triple H and laid him out and whatever. Yeah. Now she's wrestling for WWE.
Again.
And I think she was in a tag match against Stephanie and Triple H. I don't remember who her tag partner was. I don't think it was The Rock.
Oh, I don't remember.
May have been Kurt Angle.
Possibly.
Maybe. I don't remember.
I think that's the whole storyline with Ronda, quote unquote, messing up Stephanie's arm. Because I remember her being in a cast or a sling for a while. So there was that.
So, but now your actual.
Yeah, let me. let's get away from our WrestleMania 31 for a little bit.
Yeah.
So, my next actual thing I want to talk about is WrestleMania 24. And it's Shawn Michaels again, but this is his match with Ric Flair. Once again, retirement match.
Woo!
Air quote retirement match.
Yeah. You remember me talking about people having retirement matches and not staying retired?
Yeah, Ric Flair is one of them. But for that moment where you truly believe that Ric Flair was winding out his career and going to fully retire, it is made for a great setup for this match. And the match was actually really entertaining, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Flair's at this point is an old man.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I feel like Flair's been an old man for a long time. of course, he's not going to move around. But, boy, is he still entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And then Shawn is going to be able to carry almost anybody. So, just to see these two step in the ring, put on an entertaining match. Things that kind of stick out to me are, I'm sure watching any Ric Flair match, you know that there's times that he'll try to go to the top rope and do something off the top rope, and then he'll get caught and then thrown off.
Yeah.
But in this match, this is the first time I ever remember watching a Ric Flair match, and he goes to the top rope and actually hits something. Okay? He ends up hitting a top rope double sledgehammer on Shawn, and I remember just being like, yes!
Finally!
And then, of course, it's the ending
yes.
where Flair will just not back down. Like, he is not going to go down. So Shawn knows that he has to end it, and then you just see Shawn... You read his lips. Like, I'm not a good lip reader, but I can read what he said. So Flair gets up. Shawn's preparing for Switch In Music, and he says, "I'm sorry, I love you."
Mm-hmm.
Switch In Music cover. Flair's in tears even before the three count hits. So
yeah, and as soon as he hits three, Shawn's off of him, and he's like hugging him or whatever, you know.
Yeah,
and it's just such an emotional moment. I mean, say lessened a little bit just by Ric Flair going to TNA and this and that. And Triple H has talked about this on the 30 for 30 about Ric Flair. But, you know, how he felt like, why did he feel like he had to go? I guess, I don't know if he needed the money or what. But it doesn't take away the moment itself. Would have meant more if he stayed retired, sure.
Yeah.
But in a bottle, you know, it's a great moment.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those matches that's interesting to go back and back and watch.
For sure.
Your next one.
So this is this wasn't considered a great match because it was Brock breaks the streak. And take it for grown for what, if you don't like it or not, but
talk about it, huh?
Because the match wasn't great because I'm pretty sure it's known that Undertaker was concussed for like most of this match, and he's even said he doesn't really remember a whole lot of it. So it was a lot of Lesnar carrying, like trying to take care of him and carry it. And you know, surely anybody listening to this knows that the streak was an iconic thing that kind of began. That they realized, I don't know how long it took them to realize that The Undertaker had never been beaten at WrestleMania, and then they started to make it a thing. Mm-hmm. So it almost became like another championship. Yeah. If you're not fighting for the title, you want to be fighting The Undertaker at WrestleMania.
Yeah, I don't remember when I remember them like fully starting to talk about the streak.
So everybody assumed that, oh, Brock's gonna lose here, and then he hits him with an F5 and gets the full 3 count. And it's silent. Paul Heyman is in like shock, and they go through different people in the crowds. Like, you've seen the memes, the shock taker guy, eyes bugging out, and like, I'm pretty sure I was doing the same thing in my living room.
Yeah.
And it was just so unbelievable that it actually happened.
Yeah. If you ever want to watch a match and just hear the crowd go completely silent at the end of it, watch this one. Like, it's crazy just how, you can almost hear a pin drop in the whole stadium at the end of that match. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think seeing the various people's reactions is almost as good as the moment itself. Like I said, not a great match.
No.
And a lot of people hate that they gave this to Lesnar. I would have been fine, more okay with it if he did not. Maybe if that was his last match, because Undertaker's an old school guy, he's fine with going out. On his back. But he continued to wrestle and have more matches and then lose again to Roman Reigns. And I'm like, really?
Yeah.
Let Brock be the one guy to do it, because you're building him as a beast.
I know.
And he beats The Undertaker.
Yeah. I will never not be upset about this decision. I mean, my thoughts on this have kind of loosened a little bit because of the news going around that Taker personally picked Brock to be the one to beat the streak. Mm-hmm. So knowing that Taker wanted Brock to be the one, fine. But like, I hate that it actually happened.
So you wanted him to retire undefeated,
of course. Of course. And then I'm even more pissed that he went and lost again to Roman.
Oh yeah, I can't hate that.
So, it's
a memorable moment. It's
definitely. Maybe not higher up for a lot of people, but gosh darn it, if it's not. You know, people don't remember it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to stick with WrestleMania 30, and I'm gonna go a little bit happier with my pick, and that would be Daniel Bryan winning the World Championship against Batista and Randy Orton.
Do you have another one you can do right now? Or we?
I didn't want to end. I wanted to end with the. You know.
Okay. No. We'll go ahead and do it. So this is my last one. We'll go ahead and both do it.
That's fine. I got another one. Hold that thought, please. Hold, please. my other one is WrestleMania 18, and it had to be Rock Hogan.
Okay.
Now we're talking an extent about how Hogan is not. You're the most technical wrestler ever. But this man carried WWF
he was
for years. Mm-hmm. He was by far the most popular wrestler during the 80s and probably mid 90s.
Oh, for sure. I mean, he's definitely on the WWE's Mount Rushmore.
Oh, definitely.
Personalities.
And then, of course, you have The Rock.
Mm-hmm. Who, also up there.
Yes, who is one of, if not the face of the company through at least the Attitude Era. Mm-hmm. And then to see these two face off, build as icon versus icon at WrestleMania 18. You know, I feel like as much as Hogan gets crapped on, he actually performed fairly well in this match. Mm-hmm. Probably helps that you're facing The Rock, mm-hmm. who is actually a pretty sound wrestler. But just the way the crowd popped during this match, you had just the crowd was divided the whole time. You had mm-hmm. people rooting for Rocky. You had people rooting for Hogan. Just the whole crowd was into it.
Yeah.
And just go ahead.
It's just that beginning moment where
the face off.
Oh, like, yeah. Bell rings. Nobody's even thrown a punch. They just stare at each other. They look left and then they just come back and look right, and the whole time the crowd is just deafening.
Yes. But yeah, just a great match. And to see Hogan pretty much pass the torch to The Rock, it just makes for a great moment in WrestleMania.
And another shocking thing about this was, because they were advertising as Hulk Hogan coming back,
uh-huh.
right? But then when he came out, it was Hollywood Hogan,
yeah.
which, I mean, it's not that big of a deal, but I think that was the first time the Hollywood Hogan character was on WWE, because that was his whole, the majority of his character in WCW.
Yeah, it was.
And so to hear him come out to the Hollywood Hogan music and the black and white attire mm-hmm. was a little bit of a shock in itself.
Yeah. And of course, at the end of the match, Hogan and Rock end up shaking hands, mm-hmm. showing mutual respect. That ends up Hogan breaking away from the NWO because mm-hmm. Nash and Hall weren't happy with him showing mm-hmm.
yeah.
respect to The Rock. So, but yeah, that's I had to include that one on my list because it's just
oh, yeah.
it's just a great time, a great WrestleMania moment.
Yeah, I considered it cool, but I don't know if I've actually watched the whole match.
Oh,
I mean,
dude.
I've seen the moments.
Go back and watch it, please.
I'll add that to my list to watch.
All right, can we get to
my last
can we
one.
Get to the yes moment?
Yeah.
yes movement. Excuse me.
Yeah, everybody knows I love Daniel Bryan, one of my mm-hmm. favorite wrestlers of not current, he's kind of on the older end now, I guess.
That's true.
But just the whole pulling double duty, you know, has to go out first match of the night to beat
Triple H.
And if he could do that, he could earn a spot to be in the main event for the title.
Yep.
Against Randy Orton and Batista.
Sure was.
Bautista.
Because Bautista had won the Royal Rumble mm-hmm. that year. But you also have to talk about the fact that this was during the Authority.
Mm-hmm.
So the Authority, I remember everybody just talking about it. Triple H talking about Daniel Bryan, telling him that he'll never be an A-plus player. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Always be B-tier.
Yeah, you'll always be a B-plus, solid B-plus.
Yeah.
And, like, what makes this whole moment even more special is just the whole build-up.
I don't know.
It's like maybe like 6 months mm-hmm. Before this.
Which is something WWE has not done. Yes. Like they have not done that well recently.
Yeah, in my opinion, this is like the last great storyline mm-hmm. that they've done.
Agreed.
It's Daniel Bryan versus the Authority. Like the fans willed this to mm-hmm. end that existence, like, because they were not going to let Daniel Bryan. They didn't want him around the title because he was a small guy.
Yep.
And they didn't see him as a superstar. But the fans would not stop letting them know, this is who we want. So, I mean, they even had that episode of Raw where the Occupy Raw, where everybody, all the crowd came out and they just got in the ring, and it was just fans full of movement chair. I mean, shirts, and Daniel Bryan just in the middle, chanting it up.
So. Yep. And of course, the fans booing Batista when he won the Rumble. Mm-hmm. Like you thought when Roman won the Rumble that year, you thought he got some. Batista got some pretty bad boos that year too, because everybody was. They were pissed that Daniel Bryan was not being put in the championship picture at WrestleMania. So they didn't want Batista and Orton as the main event.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, I mean, speaking of the actual event, like, I mean, in its defense, the Daniel Bryan Triple H match wasn't that terrible either. I think it told a good storyline. Because Daniel Bryan ends up getting the win. Mm-hmm. Triple H attacks him afterwards, injures his shoulder, arm, or whatever.
He comes out, his shoulder taped up around his ribs.
So, I mean, you know, it's all work, but I think storytelling wise, it was a fantastic storytelling. Yeah.
And doesn't Triple H and Stephanie come out during the match and try to stop him? And I don't know how.
Yeah, no, I don't remember. I don't remember. I'm pretty sure they probably did.
Yeah, but I know the moment where they do the Batista, and Randy Orton double team through the table. Mm-hmm. It goes for a Batista bomb at the same time as. RKOs him through the table. And so you're thinking, oh, well, Bryan's out, you know, for the rest of the match or whatever.
Yep.
And then he comes back, and I remember how he disposes of Orton, he wins.
So Batista bombs Orton. Orton rolls out the ring, and as soon as Batista gets up, Daniel Bryan hits him with the running knee and then locks in the yes lock. And I remember Michael Cole, who I find just the most annoying announcer ever, but he's absolutely going wild, like crazy, rooting on Daniel Bryan. And I just remember that moment that Batista taps out, and the whole crowd just erupts.
Bryan, because they had both belts at the time. Yes. They had it was the unified WWE World Heavyweight Champion. And so he's in the corner just chanting with both belts, and the crowd just doing it in sync with him, and it's fantastic.
It's a great scene. I'm getting chills just thinking about it. I definitely need to go back and watch that match, just because it's just a fantastic time. Mm-hmm. Fantastic into just some of the best storytelling that WWE has told in a long time.
Yeah.
So I just...
And when we were coming up with this idea, that was like the first thing. I'm like, that's automatically there. So
yeah, there's no way that you cannot not include that match.
Yeah, but I had a lot of WrestleMania 30. So
that's okay.
I love it. Like it's probably the last, really great WrestleManias. You know, because then 31 was good. Mm-hmm. But then 32 was, that's where you had Roman beat Triple H for the title in like a 6-hour WrestleMania, like well past midnight.
Yeah, yeah. I just feel like most WrestleManias recently have been like my excitement factor has just not been there for any WrestleMania recently. And then of course, this year you're getting Brock versus Roman for their third time, and it's like, does anybody just care? I don't care.
We've already seen Roman beat Brock. I mean, why?
Because it's heel Roman.
Yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
And then of course, my excitement wanes too when it's like, oh, it's also two nights of crap. So
okay, here's the matches I want to see. Which nights are they on? Because I want to watch both.
And don't get me started on freaking Logan Paul being in a WrestleMania match. That man is like scum of the earth.
Mm-hmm.
Him and his brother.
And you know he's going to win. You know they're going to let the non-wrestling guy beat the... whoever he's fighting.
They're facing Mysterios. It's Rey and Dominic versus Logan Paul and The Miz. No, The Miz is probably going to lose.
Okay, yeah, never mind. I forgot with the Miz. Yeah, they're going to let them.
Wow, what the F? So we already mentioned two celebrities. I don't know. You didn't mention that Johnny Knoxville has a match at WrestleMania 2.
Oh, I did not know that.
He's facing Sami Zayn.
Oh, they're carrying on that story. Okay.
Now, do you know where my excitement level? It went even lower now because this is crazy. One celebrity? Oh, fine. Three celebrities in a match? In a match? Three celebrities in their own separate matches?
Okay, well, Paul's not really... I know he is a celebrity, but he is a boxer.
No, get that out
of here. I don't like him.
Get out of here. Get out of here with that mess.
But they just have so much good talent on their roster. Like, use it.
Yeah.
But I know they got to sell, because this is the match that non-wrestling fans will... This is the event that even non-wrestling fans will watch sometimes, you know. And so they got to get it on Entertainment Tonight. Oh, you know, whatever. And the Today Show is going to talk about it. So they got to do their whole shtick.
That's how I feel about that. Yeah. Hate it all. So, yeah, my excitement for WrestleMania went to, like... One from -2. I don't care now. I care even less at the moment.
Yeah, I'll probably go back and watch matches that I want to watch, you know.
Really? What match on this card are you actually excited to see?
Like I said, I'm interested in the Pat McAfee match. But...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some.
I know you want to see Drew McIntyre versus Happy Corbin.
No.
We talked about this before the episode even started. How does Drew McIntyre go from coming back, being put as a world champion, to this year's WrestleMania feuding with Happy Corbin?
I know. He's got to be... He's like, oh, why did I come back for this?
The only match that seems even, like, interesting... I mean, Ronda and Charlotte Flair are wrestling.
Yeah, they're going to be good.
And then Edge and AJ Styles.
Yeah, and it's heel Edge, too. He turned heel the past week, I believe.
So that one might be okay, yeah. I guess. Maybe. We'll see.
I mean, I like Edge. I mean, he's very much... I mean, he's not... He is showing his age, but, yeah. I mean, I love AJ Styles. So I still like Edge.
My advice: go back and watch some of the old WrestleMania.
Yeah, there you go. pay for Peacock for a month, and go back and watch all the ones that we've been talking about, and you'll get a lot more enjoyment out of that than what they're gonna trot out there.
I know I would
here in a few weeks.
I know I would.
And go watch AEW.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
So
they just had a pay per view too.
Yeah, they did. I haven't finished watching. I've watched some of it.
Okay. But yeah, that's another day, another time to talk about that.
Yeah. I think we had a few announcements, I think.
I guess the big one is, well, it's the middle of March, if you couldn't tell. That means that the NCAA basketball tournament is going to be starting up next week. I think it starts on Monday.
Conference tournaments are happening this week. Well, the big ones are. And so Selection Sunday will be this week. This Sunday.
Yeah, we're recording on Thursday, so it'll be Sunday.
Yeah.
When it happens. So last year we ran just a fun little bracket challenge where you pick your brackets and winners and try to do it all the way to the championship game. We only had 3 people play, me, you, and our boy Kevin. Yeah. So it's kind of disappointing. I hope this year we can get a little more people together. Because, I feel like it's a little bit more fun time when you're trying to compete with at least a handful of people.
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah. We're not going to do it for any money or anything, just for fun. You know, bragging rights. I'm going to post it in the Facebook group, and I might tweet it out.
Okay.
If I can figure out how to do that.
Am I tweeting?
Am I hashtagging? I may let you handle Instagram and if you can do
the tweeter.
The tweeter. But well, we ran it last year on Sleeper.
Yep,
the Sleeper app. So which I really like. I know people like ESPN, but
no, you know, I like playing on Sleeper. App.
Sleeper. So I'll get that set up and I'll send that out. Okay. And
that works.
Yeah, hopefully you have some involvement.
Yeah, I hope so. I would like to get more than three people. Yeah, for sure. So I think that was our big news that we figured we'd talk about.
Are we doing fantasy?
Fantasy baseball? Now the lockout's over. In case you guys haven't heard it's air quote over.
Tentatively.
Yeah, both sides still have to agree on the new proposal for the...
I think they have. It just has to be ratified
by
some party.
You understand those words more than I do.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they've agreed to something, but I'm probably maybe like a third party. I don't know who, judge or whatever, ratifies it.
Yeah.
And say, okay, this is binding, and this is what it's going to be for however many years.
Okay. Gotcha. So yeah, now that the lockout is pretty much over, we're gonna have baseball at least. That's what the. So what the news is.
And we had, I read opening day, April 7th.
Yep. Apparently got pushed back by a week because I think season was supposed to start on March 31st. Mm-hmm. So, but we will, now that we know that there's going to be baseball, we will be playing fantasy baseball now. Mm-hmm. We used to do that through Yahoo. I like Yahoo a little more than some of the other ones.
Yeah, I've tried ESPN. I don't really like their form, their interface. But Sleeper said they're trying to get more sports, but as of right now, they don't have baseball. So
we need some fantasy baseball on Yahoo or on Sleeper. I like Sleeper. I swear to God, my brain is starting to just tire down. I like Yahoo. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I feel like I'd enjoy fantasy baseball on Sleeper. I really like the Sleeper app.
Yeah, we need to get football going on there. Yeah.
Okay,
that's a ways away. Yeah. So baseball. as of right now, it's going to be on Yahoo.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
Yep. So we'll be sending that out here in a few. I'm going to try to do it in a week, maybe.
Okay.
Go ahead and at least get the league set up.
Mm-hmm.
Get our owners in. Probably won't draft until closer to opening day because,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure they'll probably still have some kind of spring training to get the players in season form or whatever you want to call it. And I like to do it closer to opening day in case one of your big players get hurt or one of the big players get hurt. So you're not going in there drafting a Mike Trout and then he gets hurt and misses opening day or like 3 months.
I never understood the football leagues that drafted like – you know, after the first week of preseason, why?
Yeah.
He's like, and then there's always the one guy. He drafts a wide receiver and he tears an ACL in practice. And, oh, dang. Well, there goes my first round pick.
That's why I don't draft until close to the season. So we'll get that going. I know technically this past fantasy football season, we talked about playing for a prize. I'm a bad manager. You ended up winning.
Where's my prize?
Still working on that.
Come on.
But we may try to get something together for fantasy baseball. So we'll see how that goes. I mean, might not be anything special, but to get more people maybe involved, we might promise some kind of prize. That's pretty much the news that I have. We'll get some what's ESPN?
Bracketology.
Bracketology, that's what it is. Some bracketology going and some fantasy baseball going here in the next week or so.
Yeah.
We'll definitely gotta get bracket going.
Yeah, I've got it set up. I need to get another one set up. Sorry. I'll get it set up and sent out.
Okay. Sounds good. So you guys be on the lookout for that. We'll post that across all our social media. Figure it out.
Sounds good.
Do you have anything else that you'd like to add?
Other than just follow us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever else. We are.
So, we're on a bunch of different things.
Those are the two main ones. Rate and review, please. It helps the show get found and you know, increase us in our the algorithms and whatnot.
Definitely. We'd appreciate it. We can talk about social media. Check us out on Facebook. Go in your little search bar, cheering for the cheap seats. Join our group. We're always pretty active on our group, posting different things. Go to Twitter and Instagram and the Tickety Talk and Twitch, where I've been posting quite a few sports gameplay on Twitch. All that is Cheer Cheap Seats.
Gotta shorten it for the character limit.
Yes, stupid character limit. But, so yeah, really, really appreciate you guys following us on any of our social media. We, definitely want to know that you guys are supporting us. But we do appreciate you guys listening. You know, I know we say this after every episode, but we appreciate all the support that you guys do give us. All the listens, all the involvement in our social media, especially on Facebook. So we just thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Guess until next time. Next week should be a new overtime. We haven't really picked a topic yet. We haven't figured out a good topic for our next overtime.
We had a few we've been bouncing around, but we'll get one.
Yep. And then if we're still staying on the same schedule, 2 weeks for our next main episode will be another WrestleMania.
Yeah, because it'll be the last one before WrestleMania happens.
Sure is. So I think we're gonna do another WrestleMania episode, or attempt to.
If we do what we talked about, that one's gonna be fun.
Yes. Yeah. I think you guys are gonna appreciate that one quite a bit. But yeah, guys, thanks. We'll catch you next time. Keep cheering.
See ya.